And prayer is just, it's a precious thing to my heart. I just love prayer. I just thank God for the privilege of prayer. And it's just, prayer is a love of my life. I am in love with prayer. I love praying. And there's a lot of different forms and ways of praying. And we're going to be talking about the various kinds of prayer. Most of the scriptures I'm going to be using are New King James Version, and if I use another one, I will try to tell you so you'll know what we're reading, because when it comes up on the screen, it doesn't tell you what version we're in, but sometimes it's nice to know. My key scripture is going to be Ephesians 6 and verse 18, and it says, "Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people." Hallelujah. It says in all manner of prayer. Some version says all kinds of prayer. So there's different ways that we pray, and we're going to be looking at those. We're going to Philippians 4, 6 right now. And it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." It says, be anxious for nothing, you know, and sometimes that almost makes me laugh, because I mean, surely that wasn't for women. We tend to get anxious about things, but it's what it says. The Lord says, be anxious for nothing, but take everything to Him with thanksgiving. Amen. Mark 4:19 tells us that the cares of the world choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Distractions of the world, anxieties, fears, unforgiveness, self-centeredness, critical spirit. There's all kinds of things that can rise up in us that can choke the word or choke the anointing of prayer going through you. And so there's things that go on in our emotions that can affect whether or not we enter easily into a flow of prayer. And so it's really good when you start with prayer to start with just a soul searching, like King David did in Psalms 139, 23, and 24. And David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." 1 Peter 5:7 in the New Living Translation says, "Give all your worries and care to God, for He cares about you." So when we come to the contemplation before God of God, searching our heart, getting ready to go into prayer, we just give Him any of those things that comes up. As He searches our heart, we give them to Him. You know, if we happen to have been hurt and have unforgiveness, just imagine yourself nailing that thing to the cross. "I give it to you, God. I give these hurt feelings to you. I give this fear to you. I give these disappointments to you," whatever it is, or our own failure. Sometimes we blow it or we fail, and that will be a hindrance. But Jesus died for that. And so when we come to start in a place of prayer, just picture yourself nailing that to the cross, giving it to Jesus, just giving it Him. Give away whatever it is that is in your way. And the next prayer we're going to talk about is the prayer of consecration, or making Jesus the Lord of your life. Luke 22:42 says, Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." And in James 4:7, He said, "Submit to God." And so we in the starting of prayer, we say, God, I make you the Lord of my life. You're my boss, not my will, but your will be done. We come in, we give ourselves in consecration to God. God, here I am. I'm your child, and I give you my life. Romans 12:1, and Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And really, the only thing reasonable is to give ourselves to God, because he can manage our lives for us better than we can. You know, he's bigger than we are, and there's nothing impossible for him. And so the only reasonable thing to do is to give ourselves to God completely, because he knows best. And Jesus, when he was here on earth, he lived in total dependence and obedience to the Father. He was dependent on the Father, and we need to live our lives dependent on him. You know, we're not self-sufficient in ourselves. None of us are. So we depend on him for what we need. Amen? And obey what he tells us to do. The kingdom of God is the sphere of government where King Jesus reigns. When he's reigning in our hearts, in our lives, we're in his kingdom. We're walking in his kingdom. When we're in rebellion, you know, we're walking in the kingdom of darkness. Even if we've been born again, it's we've decided to move over into the kingdom of darkness when we're in rebellion or whatever thing that would separate us from God. And then the next kind of prayer is the private prayer. We're going to Matthew 6:6. And Jesus said, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. We all need to have a private friendship with Jesus. We need him to be our friend, where we talk to him about everything. We need to have a father relationship with him. He's our father. We're his child. We need to base our lives on our personal relationship and time with our Father. Hallelujah. Our personal relationship to God is the foundation that everything else is built on. Our security should be in the love, reverence relationship we have with our Father, and not in any position that we might have or anything that we do. Our relationship and our confidence is in our love, reverence relationship with our Father. Hallelujah. Everybody that has done great things in the kingdom of God, in the world, or even in the natural world, has a strong personal friendship with the Lord and relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. The next kind of prayer we're going to talk about is corporate prayer or united prayer. Remember in Acts 2:1, it says they were all in one accord in one place, and that's when the Holy Spirit fell. And we're going now to Psalms 133:1-3, that we're going to read that. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down to the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Where did the Lord command the blessing? When the brethren were dwelling together in unity. That's where the blessing fell. In Acts chapter 1, they were in one accord, and the Holy Spirit fell. When we are in unity, in one accord, that's where we find the blessing of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 5:13-14, when they praise the Lord in one sound, the glory of the Lord filled the house. There is great anointing when people pray together in unity, and there's great weakness when you're in disunity. Okay, we're going to Acts 4:29-31. And this is an example of praying in unity. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So they prayed together. They were in one place at one time praying. They prayed in agreement. They prayed with boldness, and the results were miracles. The place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word with boldness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grant us, Lord, to speak your word with boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, Father, that signs and wonders be done in Jesus' name. Amen. That's our prayer as well. And then we're going to talk about the prayer of agreement. We're going to Matthew 18, 18 through 19. And it says, truly I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall occur, having been bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth shall occur, having been loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as regarding anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. So we are to bind evil and loose good. We're to bind curses and release blessings. Amen. That's our purpose. Hallelujah. There's something special about the word agree. The word agree in the Greek is symphoneo, and it's where we get our word symphony. It's praying with one sound before the Lord. There's great power in that. Hallelujah. It literally means to make exactly the same sound together, like two violins in an orchestra making the same sound. Being in agreement not only forms a powerful defense, but it also becomes a mighty weapon in the kingdom. There's tremendous power in unity. Hallelujah. And so, we need to be in agreement and pray in unity, because there's power and things happen when we're making the same sound before the Lord. And then we're going on to the prayer of faith, Matthew 18, 18 through 19. And we just read that, but we're going to read it again because there's a different point I want to make in this reading. Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall occur, having been bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall occur, having been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as regarding anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. In the Greek, there's an unusual verb construction here. It has a past perfect tense verb connected to a future tense verb. And this combination is found in several places where Jesus is talking about faith. To come to real faith, we have to know that the object of our faith has already become an accomplished fact in the spirit realm. We must know that it's already a done deal, even though nothing can be seen or experienced right now in the natural realm. It must be perceived as a completed fact in the spirit realm before there will be a visible manifestation in this physical time-space world. And then in the right time, it will manifest. So when we pray in the spirit, in faith, it's already happened in the spirit. And then at the right time, it will manifest in the flesh. So when we pray in faith, we can already begin to thank God for the answer, even though we may not be seeing it yet. And I have a testimony I just got this last week about that. That's a good example of that. 2 years, almost 2 years ago, when the Hawaiians came on a mission team, while we were down there, an enemy attack came against Eric's mom, Terry Meehan, and she just got really sick. She managed to get home and went to the doctors. They did extensive test, and they found that all of the nerve endings in her whole body had been damaged. They had been, like, burned. And they said, we don't know how it happened, and we have no cure for it. There's nothing we can do about it. And she knew it was an attack of the enemy. We knew it was an attack of the enemy. And anyway, they were standing in faith, believing, and they invited some people that's over them, apostolic leaders in Hawaii, to come and pray for them. And they were driving from one side of the island to the other to meet with Terry and Jason. And a spirit of prayer came on real heavy on Gail, and she just prayed and prayed and prayed in the spirit. And she said, you're healed, you're whole, and it will manifest. And what the devil has done to you, it was an attack of Satan that came against you, but that what's going to happen is that whole region where the devil attacked you, there's going to be a mighty river of God's presence moving, and hundreds and thousands are going to be swept into the kingdom of God. We believe that. She just kept standing in faith. Although she didn't feel any different, she stood in faith that she was healed. And anyway, she couldn't even go to church for a while. She couldn't get out of the house. She could barely move. She was really suffering. But she kept saying, thank God I'm healed. Well, then several months into that, she got out to her front porch. It was like an effort to get to her front porch. And there's a park across the street from them. And the Lord says, go to the park. And so she walked to the park. She walked completely around the perimeter of it three times. And now she's up to walking 3 miles a day. And she's doing all kinds of things. And she said, there's still a few things that haven't manifested yet, but I am healed, and they will manifest. So that's just a good example of, the healing happened, the prayer was prayed, and she just began to praise God for it. Even in her limitations, even when everything in her body was screaming something else, she just said, I'm healed. And then, when she did not have the ability to walk across the park, much less walk around it three times, God told her to, and in her obedience, faith was activated. Hallelujah. So it's important to know that when we've prayed about something, it's a done deal, and begin to praise God for it. But then along the way, there's going to be a time when God speaks to you to do something. And in your obedience, that's when you're going to find the victory. And also, we were praying at a spot down south of Moctezuma. That's where it hit her right then. She was attacked by an evil spirit that was there. And right now, there's a whole new church raising up right almost where we were praying, about 50 feet from the place we were praying. There's a new church opened that Marco and Marisa Taran are going and doing services every week in that spot. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. James 5:15 says the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Mark 11:23-24 says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says, that word says in the Greek is Lego. Legos are building blocks. That's where the Lego game came from, the Greek word Lego, and they're building blocks. And so our words that we speak are building blocks in our life. Okay, going on, believes that those things that he says will be done, he shall have whatever he says. And this says means speaks, or just literally what you speak. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The prayer of faith moves mountains. Romans 10:9 in the Message says, it's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. It's the word of faith coming out of our mouth that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. Our words, what we, our lego, our words, what we continually say and build our lives on, are like a frame around our life. And whatever words we're consistently speaking are going to frame a picture of who we are and what we're doing. So it's important to speak in agreement with God and His Word. Amen? Thank you, Jesus, for the prayer of faith. Now we're going to go and talk about intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is letting the Holy Spirit pray the will of the Father through us. Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So it says it's the Spirit who prays through us, and he prays the will of God. Our calling and function is not to replace God, but to release him. Intercessory prayer is an extension of the ministry of Jesus through the body of Christ, the church. Therefore, we stand in the gap between God and humanity for the purpose of reconciling the world to him. Or we stand in the gap between Satan and humanity for the purpose of enforcing the victory of Calvary. Satan, no, you can't do that. Jesus won the victory. Amen? There's three vital ingredients of intercessory prayer, and they are love, compassion, and boldness. That we stand in the gap. Hallelujah. It's so important, and I know we do this in our prayer time. Sometimes we just worship God to start with, or we just pray in the Spirit to start with, because there's only so much we can do praying from our understanding. But when we let the Holy Spirit pray through us, He prays the will of the Father. He knows what evil spirits might be hindering a situation, and we have the power in His name to rebuke those, to cast them out. And like I say, you know, sometimes we know what needs prayer, but a lot of times we don't know what needs prayer or who needs prayer right at the moment, but the Holy Spirit does. And when we're led by the Holy Spirit, He brings people up into our heart. He brings situations up into our heart that we can pray about. So it's important in our times of prayer that we have the Holy Spirit's direction and help praying the will of the Father through us, because we're limited in our understanding, but He's not. Amen? Hallelujah. Here's an example. Father, we pray for the salvation of souls in Douglas. We bind the spirit of confusion on the minds of the people that keep them from being aware of their need for God. I mean, there's all kinds of intercessory prayers. That's an example of one thing that we could pray. And then we're going to talk about the prayer of petition or supplication. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And also James 4:2 says, we have not because we ask not. And the Lord's Prayer, He said to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So there's a place to just directly ask God for what we need. Lord, I need this. You know, this is a need. This is something I want. You know, so there is a prayer of supplication that God put in place for us to ask him for what we need. Hallelujah. And we all have things that we want and we need, and so that's an easy one. And now we're going to talk about the prayer that's called spiritual warfare. Galatians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Is our battle with people? No. It says, "But against," and I'm going to add the word, "but we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly place." We are in a battle. You know, we are in a battle. There are demonic forces, you know, and a lot of times people that we're praying for, they're against demonic forces coming against them that they don't know how to fight, you know, sometimes. So our battle is against the devil, actually. But when we get ready to enter into battle, it's important to keep a clean heart and know we have our heart clean. Ephesians 4:27 in the Amplified says, "Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him." And so when we have a sin resting in our lives, in our heart, it's like we give it's like bait to the devil. It gives him an open door to come in and attack us. So when we getting ready to go into any kind of a battle against Satan, we need to make sure we're clean inside. Lord, don't leave any foothold for the devil to get in through. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or are natural, but the weapons we have are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." There's two weapons that we have to fight against the devil. One is the word of God, and the other is the Spirit of the Lord. And we're going to read some scriptures about that. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." So if we don't know how to pray, pray the word. Find out what the word has to say about it. Pray the word, because the word's a powerful weapon against the enemy. And then Ephesians 6 talks about the sword of the Spirit being our advancement tool. So the Spirit is how we advance and gain territory from the enemy. But we need to remember that it's not us that's defeating the devil. Jesus won the victory over the devil at the cross. He won. He's already won the victory. But as his representatives on the earth, it's our job to represent him in the world, standing against the demonic forces. And it's not by might, it's not by our power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord in us that we have authority. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our warfare is an extension of what Christ already did. What he did, we must enforce. And it's important to use the word of God as a decree. This is the law of God. This is what God says. We need to use the word of God if we're talking about healing, if we're talking about our finances, whatever need is there. If we're praying for someone, use the word of God, because the word of God is powerful. And we need to decree the word, state it. This is what God says. This is the law of God. Amen. Decrees will separate, divide, and set. Let's talk about our children, for instance. If we're praying for our children and we decree God's word over them, what God says about them in his word, decrees separate, divide, and set them apart for the kingdom of heaven. And decrees cut off and destroy anything purposed against them and God's blessing for them. So a decree gives free rein for God to move in their life, and it blocks the enemy, because this is what God said. An example of this, Isaiah 44, 3 through 4 is a promise of God for our children. He says, "For I will pour out my spirit to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields, and I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children. They will thrive like watered grass and willows on a riverbank." What do trees on a riverbank look like? They flourish. And so we can declare this: God will pour out his spirit upon my children. Hallelujah. And my descendants. And God's, and my blessing on your children. God's promising to bless our children. And it says they will thrive like watered grass and willows by a riverbank. Hallelujah. So when we decree God's word over our family or over whatever need we have, it's powerful. God's word is powerful. And it's anointed by the Holy Spirit to do what it was sent to do. And then watchman's prayer. 2 Samuel's 18, 25 through 27 tells how the purpose of the watchman on the wall of a city was to watch for approaching situations, good or bad, so those within the city could be ready to respond. Watchmen were not only called to watch for the enemy, but they were taught to, they were watching also for good messengers coming their way. Watchmen are alert. You know, they're alert. What if we put a border patrol guard on the border to watch for illegals coming across the line? And what if they sat out there in their car all day playing games on their cell phone? God wants our attention. He wants us to be alert and not distracted. We are soldiers in the army of God, and we're to be on alert and be ready, pay attention. And we want to see when God's sending something our way in his presence. You know, if he's sending a wave our way, we want to be ready to catch it and ride with his wave that he's sending. If an enemy's coming in, we want to see them before they get here and stop them before they ever do damage. Amen? We need to be a watchman, alert and aware, not a phone man. Ephesians 6, 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." 1 Peter 5, 8, and this is in the New Living Translation, says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." You know, he's after us. We're his enemy. We look like God, and he doesn't like us. So stay alert. Isaiah 62, 6 through 7. Says, "I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem." And I always read it, "I have set watchmen on your walls, O Douglas," or Old Faith Ministries Church. "They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes and till he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Or I won't, you know, and that's me. I won't be silent, and I'll give God no rest until he establishes what he wants to do in this town, until he establishes his reign in this town. Amen. Next, we're going to be talking about travailing prayer. And travailing prayer works alongside with prophetic declarations. Isaiah 66, 8 says, "For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children." In the another version, it says travail. Travail is a form of intercession that releases the creative power or energy of the Holy Spirit into a situation to produce, create, or give birth to something. The Holy Spirit wants to release his creative power through us, bringing forth new life. There's a kind of prayer that births that changes situations, that sets people free to come to Jesus, that brings forth God's will on the earth. That's a part of prayer, and sometimes it's with weeping. You know, it's with weeping, and you know, it's a strong prayer. You know, sometimes we weep before the Lord, because God's wanting to birth something new. I know when we first moved to Douglas back in 87, I begin to pray south of me to that. I just begin to pray south, and I begin to pray and cry and said, God, send your messengers to all of these pueblos that haven't heard. And I would just cry and cry and cry and weep to the Lord to send his word into all of these pueblos. And then we started doing an exploration journeys and looking into it. And as we went, you know, in a 100-mile radius around Cumpas and several river valleys that included, there were only a very few churches, many, many towns, and only a very few churches that taught salvation. And they were tiny little struggling congregations. And we just was crying, God, send your word, send your word, send your word, send your messengers to these people. I birthed it. I prayed it. I cried. I would cry day and night. And my girls would tell me, Mom, you don't have to cry to pray. You know, I quit wearing mascara because my face was always black. So I would just cry, always weeping, praying for this area. Now, almost every town has churches in it, Christian churches, and multiple churches in some towns. You know, we saw it work. Hallelujah. It works. It works. It works. It's a type of travailing prayer. Sometimes it lasts a long time. With me, it was like it went on and on and on. That I prayed it. I prayed it till it was birthed, till it began to be birthed. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, the earth was without form and void. And these words without form are the Hebrew word tohu, which means a desolation, to lie waste, a desert, a worthless thing, confusion, empty, barren, a formless, lifeless mass. The earth was just void. Then verse 2 goes on to tell us that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Amplified says the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. You know what happens when a mother hen broods over her eggs? The chickens come forth, the little chicks come forth. And God was brooding over, hovering over the earth. It was the Holy Spirit that brooded or hovered over the earth, releasing his creative energies or power at the words of God, giving birth to what he spoke. Even today, we might say an idea or a vision or a nation was born. It was born out of an idea, thought, you know, it was born. The word brooding, giving life to, it was the word that was used when the earth was created, is the very same words used in Isaiah 66:8 that says, as soon as Zion travailed, that Zion is the church, she also brought forth her sons. This is really important. What the Holy Spirit was doing in Genesis when he brought forth or gave birth to the earth is exactly what he wants to do through our prayers in bringing forth sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. He wants to go forth and hover around individuals, releasing his awesome power to convict, break bondages, bring revelation, and draw them to himself in order to cause the new birth or new creation in them. The Holy Spirit wants to birth through us. Travailing prayer is often followed by prophetic declarations. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord was brooding or hovering over the face of the earth. And then, because he was there, then God said, and God said, and it was. And God said, and it was. God said, and it was. All the way through Genesis. But the Spirit of the Lord had been hovering. And hallelujah. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." By prophecy, we give voice to the purpose and plan of God. We set it in motion. Letting God speak through us sets things in motion. It gives them life. That's why in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it encourages to desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Prophecy is speaking what God's speaking, and it puts things in motion. What God's been doing, it puts him in motion. It's creative and powerful. 1 Corinthians 14:3. "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." The purpose of prophecy is not to uncover the dirt, but rather to find the gold and bring it to the top. We're miners. You know, we're to find the gold that's in people. Hallelujah. A revival can be described by a visitation of God's Spirit, of the Spirit on God's people. But an awakening is a time of such intense visitation by God that both the Christian and non-Christian communities are affected. While a revival alters the lives of individuals, awakening alters a whole people or a culture. Whole region. In reading about revivals in different places around the world that came out to be big revivals, they were always started in prayer. It was like they were birthed in prayer. There was prayer, which was the Spirit of the Lord beginning to brood over the area. But then it was like all of a sudden, people begin to be aware of their need for God. One revival, there was a whole saloon full of young people. They got a bus and they took them 2 hours to this little church in the middle of the night, and they showed up there and they said, "We want God." They weren't looking for God, but God was looking for them. And an awakening is where the whole community begins to realize their need for God. It's like their eyes are blinded. They don't know they need God, but they do. But prayer will birth that kind of movement. It's something that's been in my spirit for years and years. I have seen an awakening in Douglas where over 80% of the people turn to God and are born again and find God real. And it won't be in any particular church. It's just going to be the presence of God settling on our town, and people are going to realize, "I need God. I need God." Hallelujah. Just like Ezekiel prophesied to the dead, dry bones to live, we must, through the prophetic word of God, must speak God's life. Speak what God's speaking. Speak what he's saying. And then another form of prayer is praise. The last one we're going to cover. Praise is the vehicle to take us from the realm of the natural to the realm of the heavenlies. It's our vehicle that carries us into the presence of God. Psalms 22:3 tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. So God lives where his people are praising him. That's where he is. That's where he lives. Hallelujah. So when we worship God and praise God, God's in our midst. He's there where we're worshiping him. Hallelujah. When we were worshiping this morning, no doubt that God was in the house. You know, he's here. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:4 and then 6-7, and I'm reading this in the Message. And it says, "Celebrate God all day, every day." I mean, revel in him. "Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I love that. It's wonderful what happens. Christ is the anointing. It's the Holy Spirit, His presence with us. When He replaces the worry that's there. Oh, how awesome is that? How awesome is that in His presence? Oh, I love it. Worship is powerful for many, many reasons. But one reason is that when we worship Jesus and worship God, we are changed from glory to glory. We become more like Him. We become like who we worship. Have you seen teenagers that got to listening to hard rock music, evil music all the time? And what did they become like? What they were listening to. When we worship God, we become God-like. We become like our Father. Hallelujah. Praise is a powerful weapon against the enemy. Remember the battle of Jehoshaphat? It was an impossible battle. It was something they couldn't have won anyway. And the Lord said, put the praise and worship team out front. And put the musicians in front. And God just fought their enemies for them. Hallelujah. I have seen it through our lives. When things looked impossible and hard and difficult, if we would begin to worship God and worship God and praise God and praise God, enemies just begin to fall. Things begin to happen and change. Hallelujah. We're going to read 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21 and 22. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. When we worship God and praise God, God sends out ambushes against our enemies. Thank you. God fights for us. When we're worshipers, God fights our battles for us. Hallelujah. That's good news. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We are God's own special people. We're His called ones. He loved us. We are His representatives in this earth. He chose it to be that way. We are His body. We are His feet walking in this earth. Hallelujah. And He wants us all to be people of prayer. We are called to pray. And there's many, many different ways to pray. I think we went over 50 different ways to pray. And you know, we just need to become proficient in all of them, worshiping God. But I tell you, praise is awesome. Praise is awesome. It just gains victory. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. And hallelujah. Peter's on his way. Mitch is on his way. Hallelujah. Do you guys have a praise song you do? Yeah, let's just worship the Lord together. Just whatever the Lord brings up, and let's just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. There's victory in it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. God's our God. God is our God. The God that created the universe is our Father. The God above everything. There's nothing impossible with our God. Nothing, nothing, nothing's impossible with our God. And He's our Father. He's our puppy. He's our sweet daddy. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's just end with a worship song, praise song. Hallelujah.